It took the grass off of them. Barbed wire off the fence post.
There was a lot of streets you couldn't even go on because trees had fallen and there was debris everywhere.
Well, it's a spectacular sight. The low clouds, very black low clouds.
I thought there would be hundreds of people killed.
There was no funnel in it until it actually got right to the airport. Then a funnel developed right in the parking lot.
Neighborhoods on either side of the park just suffered massive devastation.
It went into Indian Hills and angled right on across to the I-71 Waterson interchange.
I kind of prayed, Lord, I don't know why I was spared and so many people weren't, but thank you.
It was just a complete disaster. It was just frankly unbelievable.
Chicken Little was right. So read the sign tacked to the door of a battered brick home in Jefferson County's Rolling Field subdivision. And there were no doubters or disbelievers as in the children's tale. The evidence was everywhere, and it was staggering.
April 3rd, 1974, a date that brings an instant nod of recognition from tens of thousands of people in Kentucky, Indiana, the Midwest, and the South. On that day, more tornadoes dipped from the angry early spring sky than on any other day in recorded weather history. By the time nature's rampage ended, destruction and debris stretched from Alabama to Ontario, and a deadly onslaught that started in early afternoon and lasted until just before the next daybreak. And when first light arrived on April 4th, many in Kentucky and Indiana were faced with the undeniable evidence that some of nature's angriest blows on the previous day had been directed at them.
WHAS Sports 84.
All right, looking at sports this afternoon, tonight, game number two in the Kentucky-Carolina ABA first-round playoffs.
The afternoon rush was building toward its peak on Wednesday, April 3rd. Listeners tuned to WHAS Radio heard disc jockey Jeff Douglas's usual mix of music and afternoon patter. But the afternoon broadcast had also been interspersed with the shrill tone that precedes severe weather watches and warnings. As 4:30 approached, there was an increasing urgency in those advisories.
6 miles west-southwest to Brandenburg, close to Midway, a tornado near U.S. Highway 60. So there
tornadoes had been reported earlier in the day in southern Indiana, and now there was evidence that such storms were possible here. It had been 1890 since Louisville has last suffered major tornado damage. 76 people had died in that storm, but since then there had been little reason to get worked up about the tornado threat. And for the most part, Louisville went on about its business that afternoon, at least until it was forced to do otherwise.
Chuck Paddock, WHAS News. County police report a tornado sighted at Terry in Greenwood in the southwest section of Jefferson County.
Dick Gilberts, a retired Air Force pilot now tracking traffic in a normally peaceful sky for WHAS Radio, looked from the cockpit of his helicopter down on highways filled with the reflection of headlights glistening on wet pavement. And he cast a glance to the darkening southwest sky.
I don't actually physically see any tornado activity at the moment, but it does look highly suspicious down there.
As the blackening clouds rolled toward the northeast, meteorologist in charge John Burke was at his desk in the offices of the National Weather Service at Standiford Field Airport. He was on the phone with WHAS Radio in a conversation that was being aired live. It was 4:35.
We're heading winds up. Good gracious sakes alive.
How high is the wind speed at this time?
There's 50 right there. By golly, the whole thing's going. Hit, I'm going. Come on.
The forecasters saw the telltale funnel descending as the inky black swirl of clouds approached the airport. The cloud met the ground at the Kentucky State Fairgrounds, sending debris dancing into the air. The storm's northeast march through Louisville and Jefferson County was underway.
It's 4:40. Bob Johnson has joined us. Bob?
Jeff, the city police say that a tornado is moving across the southern part of the city.
The tornado rolled across Interstate 65, flipping several vehicles onto their tops. Then it brushed Audubon Park, downing trees and power lines, before heading across Poplar Level Road. Much of Stevens Avenue was demolished as the storm careened through the highlands. In an instant, Bardstown Road was a mass of tangled utility poles, wires, and debris. And the storm descended upon the stately forest that was Cherokee Park.
Cherokee Park received, it's inconceivable, 2,000 mature trees, 80 years old, in that range. And so they're gone.
Louisville alderman and local historian Tom Owen remembers how the tornado of 74 saw Cherokee Park as a point to unleash some of its worst fury.
The Twister seemed to gain strength as it moved across Bardstown Road, and when it passed the Daniel Boone statue at Eastern Parkway, it muscled its way into the elegant green forested landscape.
Just unbelievable. Just to like taking a giant cosmic lawnmower mowing them down and splintering.
What was so unusual about this storm was the fact that it did not skip across the landscape like many other tornadoes are known to do. Instead, this Twister stayed on the ground. It rolled up and down the hills, trying to touch every piece of earth it could reach.
It would have been from Daniel Boone statue at the head of Eastern Parkway, literally all the way over to Cochrane Tunnel and beyond. So that is a pretty broad swath, perhaps a little less than a mile wide, but it's a gigantic piece of real estate.
Neighborhoods on either side of the park felt the winds as well. In Bonnycastle, power lines littered the streets. In Crescent Hill, turn-of-the-century homes were turned into rubble. The water company's pumping station knocked out.
And those neighborhoods, neighborhoods on either side of the park, just suffered massive devastation.
After blasting the water company plant, the tornado rumbled across the Crescent Hill golf course and took dead aim on the new homes in pricey subdivisions in eastern Jefferson County. Rolling Fields, Northfield, Indian Hills, some of Louisville's most expensive homes were reduced to rubble and splinters, or simply swept off of their foundations.
The power transformers have been blowing regularly in the path of this thing, big, large explosions of blue-white light that helped to clock it pretty well.
April 3rd, 1974 began as just another afternoon for the WHAS traffic tracker. But what was different about this day were the dark clouds that hovered over the city as Dick Gilbert flew overhead at 500 feet. Ahead of him, a deadly storm, and it was packing a punch that even Gilbert couldn't believe.
It looks like smoke underneath it. There is no real tight, definitive tornado as such. It's still turning at a large... Yes, there's one now. Started, yes, dipping down from the bottom of the cloud.
And, right up until the time that I got around behind it and actually flew over the fairgrounds, I still did not think it was a quote, tornado, unquote. It was a violent windstorm, perhaps, but not a tornado.
Dick Gilbert got his first real glimpse of the tornado as it slammed into the fairgrounds, but because the tornado was so big, he couldn't actually see the damage until it crossed over the interstate.
Now, the wind damage hit the roof of Freedom Hall, and it tore three big holes in the roof. Then it moved over on the eastern end of the building and ripped off about a third of the roof here. The horse barns are no more. It totally wiped out the horse barns, all of the mobile homes and trailers.
As the tornado cut across Interstate 65, it toppled cars onto their roofs and then hammered Audubon Park. Dick Gilbert began a chase that would last nearly 15 minutes and take him more than 12 miles across town, neighborhood after neighborhood, leaving a path of destruction.
It went between Barrett Junior High School and the Baptist Seminary. It hit Stilts, Frankfort, Pennsylvania, Hillcrest, the Crescent Hill Golf Club. It went into Indian Hills.
Obviously, it wasn't rehearsed or written down or anything else. It was strictly off the cuff, the whole bit.
Gilbert's reports are one of the most memorable sounds of that day in 1974. For many people who were in the path of that tornado, his voice was their only source of warning and comfort. But looking back, Dick Gilbert remembers following the storm to its end and then flying home. Just another day on the job for a veteran pilot. He wouldn't realize the impact until the next day at the office. Awaiting him were phone calls and letters, including one from the White House.
I mean, somebody tried to make a hero out of me about this thing, and I never considered it that. I have to dodge thunderstorms anytime they come through.
Suburban Hospital here in Louisville reports that at least 25 persons have been received for treatment of injuries.
The water supply in Louisville is critical at this time. We have, at best, 8 hours supply.
We have been asked to urge all members of Headquarters Battalion, 23rd Artillery Corps, report to the fairgrounds armory immediately.
Police in Louisville and Jefferson County moved quickly to cordon off the storm-damaged areas, but the search for victims would be complicated by the rapidly approaching darkness. When County Police Chief Russell McDaniel got his first look at the devastation from a helicopter, he was stunned.
I thought there would be hundreds of people killed.
Safety concerns prompted McDaniel to close off those damaged cities and suspend the search for victims until dawn.
I kept thinking that the morning would never come and we could get in and we could see.
When the heavy equipment finally moved in and the rubble was moved away, the news was good. The death toll was amazingly low. Two were killed in the storm. Three had died from heart attacks. Jack Devon, who was a still new Louisville police chief on that day and now serves as director of the city's disaster and emergency services, says that, in a way, Louisville was very lucky.
When you look at the track that the tornado took across the city, it couldn't have crossed many more open areas than what it crossed between Cherokee Park and the area there between Poplar Level and Newburgh Road, where the hospital is now, and the water company property. If that track had been half mile in either direction from the track it took, we would have had twice the destruction of homes and property, because it would have been going through populated areas instead of going through broadly open area like Cherokee Park and things like that. So it was as bad as it was, it certainly could have been considerably worse.
And in the hours that followed the Louisville storm, reports from another Kentucky city proved just how fortunate Kentuckiana had been. Dark, ominous clouds gathered to the southwest of the Meade County city of Brandenburg. It was close to 4 o'clock in the Ohio River town of 1700, and Monk Ross had joined the county school superintendent to look at a drainage problem on the proposed site of a new football field at the county high school. His companion cast a wary glance to the approaching darkness and suggested they take shelter. Ross, who had been mayor for 3 months and 4 days, had been elected on a pledge that he would clean up Brandenburg. That job was about to become more enormous than anyone could have imagined.
About that time, we looked over to our right from where we were standing, and we saw Dowden's dairy barn go in the air. Then we saw the RE station building go in the air.
The angry, swirling cloud had already battered Irvington to the west and was now smashing homes on the north end of Brandenburg. Beautiful old homes on the city's west hill were simply swept away. Cars were tossed about like toys, and towering old trees were stripped and snapped like toothpicks. Reverend Billy Markham knew nothing of the onrushing horror as he prepared to take a bath after mowing the lawn of his parsonage. That plan was interrupted by a phone call from his wife, who insisted that he pick her up from work.
I headed out to get her. I left the house at 4:05 and it blew away at 4:08.
The storm continued its rampage toward the river, the hilly terrain providing no obstacle. The tornado simply hugged the hillsides, dipping down to batter the Main Street business district, and the county courthouse, which had looked out on the Ohio River as an old friend for a century, was obliterated in seconds.
It looked like that you were up in the air in an airplane as high as you could see, and you had spread out a piece of black plastic a half a mile wide, and you were just dragging that piece of black plastic through the air.
Monk Ross.
It looked like a big black piece of plastic dragging on the ground, taking every... It took the grass off the ground. Bob wire off the fence post.
The cries of the injured greeted Ross and others as they arrived in the battered section of the city. Carl Wells, now Brandenburg's mayor, but then working at the nearby Olin chemical plant, rushed to the scene and realized that casualties would be high.
It was just a complete disaster. It was just practically unbelievable.
Meanwhile, Billy Markham and his wife were on their way back home, finding their path blocked by rubble and debris. His venerable old church was gone. So was his parsonage. The tub he was seconds away from stepping into when his wife had called him away was filled with concrete, auto tires, wood, and other debris.
I kind of prayed, Lord, I don't know why I was spared and so many people weren't, but thank you, Lord, and help me try to make a better use out of my life since you spared me for some purpose, evidently.
Throughout the long night, the search for victims and survivors continued. Eventually, there were 31 bodies in the makeshift morgue in the old high school. 24 were from Brandenburg itself. Survivors credit quick medical help from nearby Fort Knox for keeping that toll from rising even higher. The youngest victim was 3 months old, the oldest, 93. A mother and her 3 young sons were among the dead. There were cousins, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, grandparents, friends. It seemed that everyone in Meade County suffered a loss well beyond what the winds had done to their homes and property. A proportional loss of life in the Louisville tornado would have left nearly 5,000 dead. Monk Ross had served in 2 foreign wars, but nothing in that experience had prepared him for this day in his hometown.
When you pick up a little boy, 5 years old, and you get to the clinic door with him, and he draws his last breath, then you're not prepared for that.
Before the merciless barrage of Kentucky tornadoes, southern Indiana had already been hit. A twister touched down at DePaul and then continued on through Palmyra, Martinsburg, and Borden. At 3:51, the same storm was hitting top strength as it came calling on Hanover and Madison.
We heard on the scanner that there was a tornado heading toward Hanover, and we immediately went to the door and looked, and all we could see was all these rolling funnel clouds going over.
Catherine Kessler, now executive director of the Jefferson County, Indiana Red Cross, was a volunteer on that day. The storm reduced the huge Clifty Creek power plant on the Ohio River into a mass of tangled steel and wires, leaving Madison without electricity. But it managed to avoid historic downtown Madison, instead taking aim on the residences high on a hill that overlooked downtown and the river.
Oh, it was just a shambles. There was a lot of streets you couldn't even go on because trees had fallen and there was debris everywhere and there was just no way, and there was almost no way of even determining where you was at.
The twister had already blasted Hanover, causing $10 million damage to the historic tree-lined Hanover College campus. It spared serious injuries there before leveling a lethal blow to the city of Hanover itself. 7 people died in Madison, 2 in Hanover. That tornado finally blew itself out near Cincinnati. It had been on the ground for nearly 2 hours through southern Indiana, northern Kentucky, and Ohio, leaving a path of destruction that stretched for 120 miles.
Forecasters now refer to the tornadoes of April 3, 1974, as the super outbreak. Nearly 150 tornadoes that day took more than 300 lives. In Kentucky and southern Indiana, 20 tornadoes were reported, and there may have been more. Those storms left 85 dead and nearly 1,000 injured. Visitors to the Hanover College campus could not guess that a tornado raged across its grounds 20 years ago. Frank Baker, now a retired journalism professor and campus historian, was confident of that comeback as he looked through the lens of his camera in the moments following the storm.
Trees that had identified the campus right in front of the president's house were just taken down. And as I looked at them, I saw tulips come up, and there were three clusters of tulips that were blooming, which sort of said to us, well, we'll make it.
An Ohio River tow and its barges flowed gently past Brandenburg on a breezy spring day, past the still empty lot where the courthouse once stood. The Main Street business district still looks, as one writer said, like the mouth of an old codger, filled with gaps where teeth had once been. But the West Hill is now filled again with homes, and much of the debris scattered on April 3rd now rests in a downtown landfill. The demolished Parish Memorial Baptist Church was revived in 1975 as the First Baptist Church, and 20 years later, Billy Markham stands in the pulpit every Sunday. Over those decades, he has watched the town fight back and rebuild, and wrestle with questions of faith that arose in the aftermath of numbing tragedy. Markham feels his neighbors showed incredible strength and character, and the community that lost so many family members may have survived because of its family ties.
I had occasion to study through from the census, and I found that in Meade County, there was a larger percentage of the families where the whole family was still together than in maybe but one other county in the state.
In front of the new Meade County Courthouse stands a monument, a column reaching into the spring sky. On that monument is a plaque containing the names of 31 friends and family members killed in the tornado. So the town will not forget, as if it could. Monk Ross, just retired after 20 years as mayor and county judge, kept his promise. The city is clean again. And 2 decades later, not a day goes by that Ross is not reminded of what happened in Brandenburg on April 3rd, 1974.
That was the most devastating thing I ever witnessed in my life. Seeing the little kids that you knew and watched them play and lose their lives. And the mother and the daughters and the babies. It was unreal. I hope I never see another one.
I'm Paul Miles.
I'm John Asher, News Radio 84 WHAS.